Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Dr. Maura Finn is a Clare-based GP, but she's based here now in front of me as we speak because she's in the studio. You're very welcome, Maura.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
And we're talking about sleep today.
Yeah.
Hugely important for all sorts of reasons. It affects everything, doesn't it?
It does. And it's funny, people don't talk about it, but it's actually so important in so many different levels. It's essential. It's not just not being awake, and it's not just not being tired or physically tired or kind of dragging yourself around the next day, but it's an essential physiological process as well. Your brain is really active when you're asleep. It's cleaning itself out, it's laying down pathways, it's restoring itself, it's kind of managing endocrine systems, it's sorting out glucose metabolism, it's looking after our hormones as well and how hormonally aging. There's a growth hormone burst in the early part of sleep. There's all sorts of things that happen that if we don't get good restorative sleep, we don't function well. And it's linked to long-term poor health outcomes if you have chronic poor sleep.
Let's get to these questions because I've loads of them. Okay. I can go to sleep within minutes, says this listener, of going to bed. So that's great. But every night I'm going to wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock and I can't get back to sleep for 2 hours or more. That's the worst, I think. That's just awful, isn't it, if that is happening.
Yeah.
So if this person does manage to get back to sleep, they're waking up again around six. And it's so annoying that I hate bedtime. The pattern started after my mother passed away 6 years ago. Actually, there's a commonality in a good few of the questions we're getting around grief and the impact on sleep. Mm. But for this person, falling asleep, no problem, waking up in the middle of the night.
So there's so many different things in that. So the first thing is the grief. And maybe I'll get back to that because I'll answer her question specifically. But there's so many different things. So we talk about sleep. We talk about the quality of sleep. We talk about the quantity of sleep. So quantity, obviously, she's having poor quantity. She's having poor quality too because she's not having this. You go through kind of like non-REM sleep, which is the light sleep, which gets deeper and deeper, then into REM sleep, which is when most of the really important repair work is done. And that goes to a 90-minute, roughly, pattern. And that happens between 4 and 6 times a night if you have good quality sleep. What's probably happening is that she's waking after a couple of those 90-minute kind of cycles and she's wide awake. And then possibly because of underlying psychological issues or underlying stress issues or maybe physical, there could be other things as well. She's awake and she's wide awake and she's fallen into this really bad pattern of sleep. The other thing that really is important about our sleep hygiene is about getting into good cycles of sleep and patterns of sleep. So you go to sleep the same time every day, you go get up around the same time every day. And that sounds counterproductive if you need a sleep in at the weekends, but it does go against that kind of the repetitiveness of the cycles. And the other thing which might be very interesting for this lady is that we have what's called a chronotype. So we sleep in different ways. You know, people are sometimes early birds or night owls.
Yes.
So she may be somebody who actually needs to go to sleep earlier than she does, which might be why she falls asleep so easily. But in fact, her chronotype is that she actually is probably she's waking up and she's ready for the day at 6 o'clock in the morning, but she's not getting enough sleep before that as well. But I imagine there's lots of different issues going on here. And probably the most important thing she said was that she's associating sleep. She hates going to sleep. So she's poor associations made there too. So she's lying in bed. She's awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's completely frustrated. She knows she's going to be tired the next day. And she thinks, oh God, what is this about? So what we would suggest is after 30 minutes, you get up and you break that association between being in bed and being awake, because that actually is a very poor association. You need to think of bed and sleep and your bedroom as being a restful place, not somewhere that is going to
So 30 minutes after you wake up, you're tossing and turning. Get up, get out of the bed and go and do something. Don't drink tea now or coffee.
No, don't do anything stimulating, but do something slightly different. And it's all about kind of boring your brain back to sleep often. And people talk about these sleep stories or sleep journeys where you kind of go, you might read a relaxing book. You don't go on your screen because that's blue light, which kind of really wakes you up and actually interferes with kind of the circadian rhythm as well. But get up, disassociate that lying in bed and being awake. And she may be somebody needs to do a little bit of CBT or something to work on that association between bed and not being able to kind of get into a proper pattern of sleep. But there's so many different levels of of issues going on with that person, including the grief. Sleep loss is one of the earliest presentations of poor mood or depression or anxiety that we see.
Yeah.
So it needs to be recognised that it's not always a benign thing if you're not sleeping well.
Yes, and you shouldn't think of it as such. You know, you should do something about it, get some help. So now this listener says, once my husband sleeps, he snores and snores and snores. He wakes up and says he's exhausted, and I've had disturbed sleep. I've often slept in another room. What can be done for snoring? It's such a disruptive thing.
Okay. And snoring in itself is very disruptive, but is this, he's exhausted, she's fully aware of it. Is this sleep apnea rather than just snoring? You know, snoring is the noise that we make, but if he's absolutely exhausted and he's constantly making this kind of, the snoring noise, it means that his kind of throat muscles are relaxing a little bit too much. Maybe he's apneic at times. He's probably having hypoxic moments. He probably should have sleep studies to see if he has sleep apnea, which is far more common than we realise and associated with a lot of long-term negative health outcomes, including cardiovascular problems, high blood pressure, stroke, all sorts of different things. It can as well be associated with obesity, in that obesity can cause it, but also because you're so wrecked, you're not exercising well and can actually lead to obesity as well.
Can children have sleep apnea?
They can. It's not as common, but it can. And there's two different forms of sleep apnea. One is a central one, which is much more rare. But actually, most often, sleep apnea is as you get older and as you kind of your neck gets a little bit thicker. But children can have it. And it can be because of adenoids and kind of some things that actually interfere with the airways, not blocking. You'll never die of sleep apnea, or you never not wake up, but sometimes people beside you will think you won't. And it's very distressing to listen to.
And they're awake too, which is another problem. A 50-year-old female has been in touch with us who gets on average 5.5 hours sleep a night. I fall asleep around 11:30 and I get up between 5 and 5:30. From a health perspective, should I be trying to get more sleep?
Now, that's interesting. And does she feel well? Does she sleep well during that time?
That's all she's told us now, Maura. We've nothing to go on.
So there's quantity, okay? And we usually say between 7 and 9 hours. So that's not enough from a quantity point of view. But if her quality of sleep is really, really good, she may actually be doing fine. But it is kind of, it's almost seem like kind of a badge of honour these days for people to get up early and not get much sleep. But it's not good for your long-term health. You need to have proper restorative sleep. The other thing is people sometimes will sleep because they're taking some sleep aid. And that is that in that situation, you're not awake, but you're not getting restorative sleep. And
quality
there's two
sleep.
Very different things there.
It really have to be between 7 and 9 hours?
Well, that's what you what most sleep experts say. Whatever you say, it's you're not getting enough and you need at least another hour and a half after that. You know, I think none of us get enough sleep, but, you know, we function. And when there's so many different things. If you have small children, if you're on shift work, if you things like Ramadan, you know, there's all sorts of things that interfere with sleep. And one of the things that I would say when people come in to me and say they're not sleeping, what we need to figure out is why. Is it because you're up to the toilet several times during the night?
Well,
is it
this listener knows why. I'm a working mom with three small children. The youngest is 18 months old and I haven't had a good night's sleep for about 8 years.
Okay.
There's nothing I can do to improve my sleep at the moment. And the question is my health doomed?
Oh, God. Well, no, that's enough. I think every one of us have experienced that at some stage. You would hope it's a short-lived thing and eventually they will sleep and eventually she will recover from that. But during the time, I remember it myself, you just don't function properly and you're more irritable. She's not doomed. She will recover from this, I would hope, and her children would eventually sleep through the night.
Maura, thanks so much. Unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the programme. We could have kept going with that. But don't let sleep problems go.
That's the thing.
Go to your GP.
Definitely.
Now, the programme today was produced by Amy Ryan. Research was by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator is Mary Elizabeth Bruton, and on sound is Jamie Doyle. Thank you for listening as we go over to Neil.